Beryl and Sports.
Hello again, and welcome to Beryl and Sport Podcasting with your host, Tony Rice. And as I record this morning, it is indeed the morning after that fantastic night before, where after 55 years of hurt, we're still dreaming of football coming home this very Sunday. Now, all those superstars that we've enjoyed watching this tournament, once upon a time would have been youngsters with that dream inspired by their role models at a high elite level. Maybe they were just kicking it around in the streets or in a park context. To tell us all about the joy, the spirit, I think, of true football, we are delighted to welcome to you from a fantastic project, Brockwell Booters, it's Chris Chapman. Chris, good morning. How are you today?
I'm all right, Tony. I'm all right. Great game. Enjoyed it with the family last night. Not too raucous celebrations, but pleased to see we're through to the final, and very jealous of all my friends who are sending me WhatsApp pictures of Wembley Way and the revelries that went on last night. So yeah, great night.
A great scene, there's no doubt about it. And I think it has to be said, we'll talk about this just for a bit. First and foremost, what a result. Because there is pressure, isn't there, in that home team context. And of course, that ginormous, almost gorilla on our shoulders, which is of course nothing for 55 years. Still, the job isn't done. But I've been actually quite critical of Gareth Southgate up until now. But irrespective of what I might believe, it's impossible to criticise him. In fact, we have to heap praise upon him today. I think he's managed this team brilliantly. There's not been that brouhaha of Wags, et cetera, has there, at all this tournament?
No, and I think yesterday was really difficult because this country, as you know, can get very excited. Expectations can be raised. And I guess once the Germany hurdle had been gotten over, there was bouncing expectation, although we all had in the back of our minds the fearful idea that it might all end very soon. But there was mounting expectation that we should get to the final. So I thought yesterday's game was very difficult for the players. I actually think in some ways the final against Italy, where the expectation will be a lot more measured, will suit our players a lot more and calm the nerves, because it's a step that, hardly any, as we've heard so many times on the radio recently, not many teams have taken in not only the recent era, but for a long, long time, for 50, 60 years. So it's massive day. I mean, if you want to nitpick, which is our way, you could say, the British integrity was damaged a little bit. The way we talk a lot about identity in modern football, and the way England play isn't necessarily, wasting time, play acting, and going and a win over going for the jugular. So it was strange yesterday to see us benefiting from a dubious penalty, to see us laying the ball around with no real aim for the last 5 minutes. But, as you say, you cannot criticise.
And sometimes, with all that being said, and I think you're very fair in that appraisal just there, I'm inclined to concur wholeheartedly. But sometimes I think you have to kind of condense all of that type of stuff, fair analysis it is, into the category that the end justified the means. And I think, can you imagine the criticism that would have been levied at Southgate if England had, as it were, gone for the jugular but left themselves exposed at the back and then conceded? And then we'd have that horrible, heart-palpitating context, which is a penalty shootout. So I hear you, I agree with you, but I think on balance, once again, end, final Sunday, justified means, let's call it what the nice pitch would be, professional style of doing the business in that allotted time.
You can't have everything, can you? You can't have everything. And let's be honest, we've suffered so many times trying to, the truth is, we'll never know. We'll never know that if we took a more gung-ho approach, if we didn't play the two midfielders, if we went all out, if in those final, because we looked like we were so on top for the last 15 minutes of the game. And I appreciate Denmark were probably letting us come onto them, but we were so dominant.
Yeah.
We just feel, well, why have this edgy last 10 minutes? Yeah. We were all over them. Let's leave Grealish on. Let's keep on pressing them. But, you know, we'll never know. And we've seen enough of the past to know that we've been a bit naive in these tactics. Indeed. So I fully understand it. But, you know, everyone saying Gareth Southgate's incredibly brave in the way he makes decisions. That would have been the bravest decision of all. But I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? It's one of those arguments that can go either way. But the most important thing, as you say, is we're there and we're all looking forward to Sunday.
Absolutely. It's going to be a big one. Just before we drill into your fantastic Brockwell Booters project, which I absolutely love. I think it's crucial, actually. Just a final note on that final. Italy are going to be a mean opponent, aren't they? They have simply not got the word lose in their vocabulary. Unbeaten in 33, 14 straight wins. And that's winning in style, as they're well capable of. They have a world-class array of talent at their disposal. But also finding that character to win ugly. Against Austria, they had to win deep. Spain, it went to a penalty shootout. My goodness me, if I'm Italian right now, I'm feeling super confident.
Yeah. And I mean, we talk about the big, you know, the superstars and that sort of thing. I think for those who are in England, you know, a lot of those players, apart from those centre-backs who have been around forever, would be new names for us unless we're following Serie A. So I think what has come out, if you look at the two finalists, what's come out more than anything is the camaraderie, the team spirit. The fact that there's no individuals and the team's more important. And you can see that from the way, I think, you know, England took their time to bring on the substitutes. Yes, but both sides have mixed things up, have trusted those on the bench and have given the vast majority of their players pitch time. And for the camaraderie and the collective, I think that's really important. As we know, it's a team game and I'm really pleased to see those teams who have got that solidarity and seem to enjoy each other's company on and off the field are battling it out in the final. That's the way it should be. It's a team game. It's not about individuals. And that's the great thing about football that they don't necessarily need to be big names. They can, if they gel together and they work hard for each other, then that can give you the edge. So it's great to see those two teams doing well and got a lot of time for the Italians, really enjoy it. And people might be criticising Immobile, you know, going over a little bit too easy. But for me, there's not been that much diving around from them. No. They've been, you know, and I think one last thing, and I think and this is massive, with, I mean, the refereeing at the tournament has been superb. And a lot of the reason why we've seen fantastic football and, you know, less theatrics and less of the, you know, time wasting is because we've got very strong referees. The only exception to that from what I've seen throughout the tournament is the Spanish chap who seems to, I've forgotten what his name is, but he seems to like himself. And I think there was a terrible decision from him. I can't remember what game it was, but apart from that blemish, I think the refereeing has been absolutely superb, and the way they've let the play go on, it has been superb.
And long may that trend continue. One thing that I'm very lucky to have done in my time here at Radio Verulam is I have been privileged to interview elite level superstars in sports, gold medalists, rugby World Cup winners, cricket World Cup winners, but I'm also fascinated by the interrelationship that we have with these superstars, like all those players gelling nicely as they are a team now in this England team, but also the relationship between the youth who are inspired and that kind of just sheer love of sport for sport's sake, which I'm a humongous believer in. And I know that that's very much at the core of what Brockwell Booters is all about. So Chris, just for the uninitiated, can you give us an encapsulation of what Brockwell Booters is?
Of course, yeah. So Brockwell Booters is named after the park, Brockwell Park in South London. Mm-hmm. So if anyone has lived in that area near Brixton, near Clapham and around there, you may know, it's got a very famous outdoor lido, which my wife went to recently on a very cold day and didn't enjoy it very much. But essentially, it's a congregation of community. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a community around there. Obviously, there's loads of communities in London. And there's a lot of youngsters who are either know each other from the local schools, mm-hmm. who live close, mm-hmm. and who you know, like to get out and about, like to get in the fresh air, and don't always get the opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the whole idea of Brockwell Booters is really to have an informal, you know, community mm-hmm. Gathering of, you know, mainly led by parents who, you know, set things up. There's some organisation to it, there's no money involved. Mm. There's no, you know, the main idea really is to get those kids out there on a Sunday morning, get them doing something more, rain or shine, whether it's, you know, whether it's below zero, which we haven't seen for a while, thankfully, but or it's balmy temperatures, and just to get them out running around and get a sweat on and hopefully give them a bit of outdoor activity that they'll, you know, they'll enjoy and set them, you know, close off the weekend for them. So it's as simple as that,
isn't it? Because I find that there's always a danger, albeit a tendency, with people like me in the media to kind of make generalized, focused points, which oftentimes spiral into certain, offshoots. For instance, I think generally speaking, aware as I am of the danger of that, there's a sensation or at least a perception that the youth, quote unquote, in our time are just basically, you know, locked in their rooms on social media, playing computer games and this and that. And so I think that it is imperative that parents like yourself, organizations like what the Brockwell Booters are, providing that outlet and that opportunity, because it seems therefore that young people still have that need, that desire, and that benefit from that engagement in outdoor, physical, and in this context, football activity.
Yeah, and I agree. I realise that, you know, our generation probably, you know, don't appreciate the social aspect, which there is in terms of digital, you know, being on your screen. We always see it as a solo sport, but there's nothing really that can replace, you know, being together, especially driving towards the same goal physically, and the activity and the health aspects of getting out there and having a run around and being able to, I mean, for the parents, for those who take on the responsibility of reffing the games and bringing the kids together and sorting them out, it's a great opportunity to instill some good values as well. Whether that be respecting you know, the lads or the girls that you're playing with, or just respecting you know authority or because that's one thing that they will. That's one thing that I do see. With the kids who are playing, you know, the answering back, the, you know, some of the stuff that they, a lot of the stuff that they see from Gareth Southgate's men and other professionals is fantastic. But, you know, some of the rolling around, some of the moaning at referees, that sort of thing, you do see it coming out on the grassroots. And if we can, you know, if we can help with that and help make these better, you know, make these youngsters better people, then that's the idea as well. Give them a bit of exercise, hopefully guide them through and give them something they look forward to and enjoy on a weekly basis. So yeah, it's needed, and it's a great alternative to being on those screens and doing, you know, and being out in the fresh air and appreciating the joys that football and nature brings us, I guess.
And they are joys. They are joys. And as you say, there are values too that you're not kind of dictating. Because I find that we find that a bit of a turn off when we get these kind of PR stunts, or when maybe a school figure or even a parent, it seems our nature when you say do this or don't do that, you kind of want to do the opposite. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be the case. But when it's kind of opportunities like this with a conglomeration of like-minded, similar age people with the common goal, it seems just much more organic, a much more organic way of getting in those very values that, you know, authority figures are seeking to do but not really succeeding at.
Yeah, I think I think what we find, because it is, you know, we don't have these specified age groups, we might get gaps. We might get gaps of kids, you know, four or five years and, you know, like 9-year-olds playing with 13, 14-year-olds. And what you're trying to do with the older girls and boys is encourage them to include the youngsters, help their development. This game's for everyone. So, you know, that kind of and also encouraging the other kids as well. So there's a lot that you get the younger kids who are testing themselves against the older kids. There's a lot of value there that you can bring out, and there's a lot of opportunity if you're that inclined and want to get involved and don't just want to, you know, stand back as a parent. There's a lot of opportunity, I think, to shape these, you know, personalities in these kids, and they're from all different backgrounds. So, you know, Brockwell, you've got, you know. You've got a complete diverse, because we're in South London, diverse range of kids from all different backgrounds, and seeing them all come together and in the main work together and enjoy themselves is it's really rewarding. It's the main reason I do it, really, and the main reason a lot of the parents, not just down to me, the main reason a lot of the parents contribute and turn up and help set up and will step in whenever you know one or two parents can't make it. So it's a good thing.
It seems like you have a really good team there working together for this very, very important project. Give me a picture though. I love the fact that you've explained that so nicely, how diverse it is and how it is totally inclusive. Roughly on an average weekend, how many people do you have participating in these wonderful outdoor engagements over at those fantastic Brockwell Park field setting?
We probably have about 60-70 kids turn up, from 3 or 4 to 13-14. It's difficult because it's a public area, so while, you know, we could go crazy and really promote it and go to tap. To be honest, there's no promotion that goes on with it. People see a bunch of kids playing, ask us about it, find out that it's purely voluntary and very inclusive, and they could just bring the kids along and get
Chris, involved. By the way, just sorry to interject there, proving the point that's sometimes forgotten. Don't get me wrong, I appreciate social media. I recognise its pros and its cons. Don't get me wrong, I work in PR and understand the power of the media per se. I'm a little cog in that machine. But you've just proven, quite frankly, the best form of any marketing, the best form of any development is word of mouth, based on people's noticing what's going on in real life, real time. I love that.
Yeah, and as I say, you are constrained a little bit because it's a public area and there's only so much space, and it's space that has to be shared with other people, of course. And that's another thing. I mean, very often you turn up on a Sunday morning ready to set up for the, and you'll have people on there, and you politely explain the game that goes on. And to be honest, the public, even though they've just got as much right to be there as you, it's not as if we've got this area cordoned off for us. Everyone is really understanding and always makes space for us. And yeah, it really goes from strength to strength. And what you see is, you know, it's great for anyone who plans to be in that community for a long time, because these kids, you see them growing up, and that's often something that's criticised about London. You don't get that continuity, you don't get that community feel. But based on my experience in South London, I strongly disagree with that, because you've got a lot of the people. Yeah, some people move away, but a lot of the kids you see growing are older. It's really good to be. Good to be a part of, as you yourself, get older yourself and look down and think, maybe I had a part to play in those people's development, in those lads and lasses' development. So, yeah.
And another thing that I think is really crucial here, and I love your insights onto this, is that sometimes we at school have a negative experience of physical education. Maybe it isn't necessarily our natural gift, and then that becomes a bit of a turnoff. What I love about what you guys are all about there at Brockwell Booters is that it seems to be a philosophy of inclusivity, of there is a space for everybody, irrespective of your particular skill, irrespective of your size, your weight, your shape, your gender, your color, whatever. Come down, enjoy the spirit of it, have a kick around, and you will be welcomed and embraced. That, I think, is so critical because of the fact that, again, I'm not having a go at the physical educational system, but I do think certain individuals fall through the gaps.
Yeah, and there are teams out there that do, that cater for that, you know, highly competitive, you know, future stars, you know, that are very well organized, Well, I'm not saying we're not well organized, but very incredibly well organized clubs. You pay your fees, you turn up every week, get your kit, and you know that there's loads of clubs across the country that can do that. But yeah, it's nice, yeah, for those kids who wouldn't necessarily excel or wouldn't necessarily partake in it, you know, getting the opportunity to run around, enjoying it, and not having, you know, parents barking at them. Yes.
We're all Gareth Southgates when our kids are involved for some reason, aren't we? It's crazy.
We are. My kids have gone to a few of these clubs, and I, like any parent, I think my lads are a decent players. But you know, they don't necessarily get in. And you know, Brockwell Boots is a great place, and especially at that age, all kids develop at different times as well. So I don't know. Let's bring it back to Kane, for example. You know, everyone's heard about Kane and his start in life, and yes, he was seen as he was always a good player, but no one would have envisaged where he's got to today. And I think there's a lot of children who have got ability, but just aren't necessarily picked up. So while it is all about inclusivity, I think if you can foster an enjoyment, people, different children develop at different times, and there may be, you know, a gem in there that might go on to do something that might not have been discovered otherwise. So I think it's a great setup we've got, and I think. Although I'm speaking to you today, there's a hell of a lot of parents who interchange, come in and do their bit, and it's great to bring the community together and bring the local area together in something that, you know, benefits. I think benefits everybody. So really,
I think where people accomplish win-win-wins. You're winning as a parent, getting that enjoyment from connecting communities. Everybody involved in it is winning from physical activity, and maybe just gaining these values sort of by osmosis. And overall, the community comes together. Win-win-win. Very rare, that one. It's not it's a gem.
Yeah, I think so. But people will point the finger and say, well, you know, kids nowadays, they need a bit of competition. But as I say, there are clubs that can offer that. And if that's what you need to get your child to progress and learn and be challenged and to develop, then great. But not everybody needs that. Some children just want an outlet, want an opportunity to mix with other children, and want to get out of the house and want to get some fresh air. And that's what we're going for.
The trade-off, I think, sometimes for this hyper organized competitive mode of sport, which is typically the case. And, you know, going back in my dim and distant memory bank, where I think maybe dinosaurs were roaming planet Earth, I was a reasonably good rugby player. And I thrived on that competitive element. I loved it. And I still do. I get that. But I think one of the things, coming back to the elite of the England now, and just generally as I've experienced it, when you genuinely love what you're doing, whatever that is, sports, business, arts, whatever, if you do it with love, then the work, the hard work, becomes infinitely easier. The trade-off, I think, sometimes in this organized style of competition when it applies to young people is that you're almost coached out of that enjoyment for fear of letting yourself or your team down. And I get that. But again, as you said earlier, you can't have everything. But that love, that sheer joy, I think is important that we don't lose sight of. And it seems to be intrinsic in what you guys are all about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's intrinsic in the way I've been brought up as well. You can probably tell from my accent. This probably has got nothing to do with it. I'm from the north, and and you know, I'm from a big family, and I'm from a town where, you know, everyone nods at each other on the way past, and it's something that I'm used to, and I like to be a part of. And if there's a part of, you know, and again, I want to stress that this isn't, you know, it's I do a tiny little. I put the goals up, and it's the parents that take most of the responsibility for running the games. But yeah, if I can create a bit of that in, or we can create a bit of that in South London, then all the better, really.
Absolutely love it. Hey, there's a cheesy business one, isn't there? The teamwork makes the dream work. And I think you are instilling a real lived dream amongst young people to have this opportunity. To give you an analogue, I would never pitch myself as Mr. Traveller, you know, but I had a wonderful travelling experience years back now out in India. And I'll never forget this, never as long as I bumble through planet Earth. I was out in the slums. It was just myself on this occasion. And never in all my days have I seen so many concurrent games of cricket going on, right? And let's not forget, we are in the slums. These guys did not have grey nickels bats. The age range would have been, like you say, 3 through 2, you know, 20-somethings in this slum context. And, you know, we're talking bona fide slum context here. But the spirit that came through all of these crazy games of cricket going on with these, basically whatever they could improvise to play cricket with, was staggeringly beautiful. Okay. I've seen galleries with art, which was nowhere near as sublime or as awesome for me as to experience this. And I guess just to analog it back, that sense of we are together, we're just out there doing it with what we've got, must be really rewarding.
Yeah, I can't say it's always rewarding on a Sunday morning when I have to drag myself out of bed, knowing that I've got to set up and organize things. But yeah, after every session, and you know, these kids do get a good run around in the organized stuff. They're doing drills, they're standing about, gotcha, they're listening. In ours, they get an hour and a half of charging around the field, and they're all jiggered afterwards. And that's, yeah, and when it comes to that, you know, after the 2 hour and a half session, it's very rewarding. You know, they've all enjoyed it, they're getting on, you know, there's groups of lads forming, they're all saying hello to new lads who are maybe from different local schools that they haven't run into. And yeah, the more I talk about it with you, the more I realise how much I take from it, and I do take a lot. Yeah.
And you honestly, I want to convey very seriously how much I respect and I appreciate that you are just one part of this wonderful organisation. All of the parents who facilitate this, I salute, because I genuinely appreciate what this is all about. And I've got to tell you, I think you're onto something here. I think this could well analog map out across the country. For those though maybe new to this, is there a way that we can get involved? Maybe parents in and around that community not yet involved. Is there a website or a social media engagement that they can enjoy?
As you say, it's all travel by word of mouth, but there's no one stopping. I'm sure this is already happening across the country, but we use the local schools to get word out, but we don't necessarily have a website or any kind of social media input. It's all done on visibility. Mm-hmm. Lots of, you know, children who are walking with their mum and dad in the park and see something going on, they look interested, they come along, they get involved, and that's it. And there's nothing stopping any community across the country. As I say, I'm sure it's going on. I'm sure there's other people doing exactly the same thing across the country. But, you know, if there's a bit of, and there are parents who like to give a bit and bring kids together, then that's all you need, really. And those wonderful new inventions that have come on the scene in the last 5 years with the quick put up goal. I mean, it's not jumpers for goalposts anymore. Those ones that come in the satchel that you can put up in 5 minutes, and they make all the difference, let me tell you. But yeah, there's no barriers to entry with this. There's no reason that you know, you can't do something yourself, go down to the local park with your own children, with your girls and boys, and before long there'll be other people joining in. Invite other people to come along, get a game going, and it'll grow from there. And yeah, anyone can do it.
Love that so much, and it's been a real joy to enjoy your company. Chris, in closing, is there anything else you'd like to just remind us about, or just reaffirm, or just just crystallize it all?
I think I've given you a thorough outpouring of my enthusiasm for this project. I just think it's really, really important, and I think you've touched on all the areas that why it's important, and that it fills a niche that. And there's literally nothing stopping any person who cares about only their own children's future, but also, you know, mixing with other children and getting them together. And I just don't think there's anything stopping anyone else doing exactly the same as what the parents are doing down at Brockwell.
Hey, perfect. And again, respecting what you do. Just to conclude and to wrap it up, 360 as a reasonably professional broadcaster should. Predictions for Sunday, please, Chris.
I think we'll do all right. I think let's go for a 1-0. a goal, just before half time, and then a very professional, as much as I'd like to see us go crazy, but a very professional sitting back, absorbing the pressure, a 1-0 victory, and then who knows, on Sunday night it could get very messy.
Absolutely. I've got a fear that it's got penalties written all over this one, but we shall see. It's been absolutely sensational to enjoy your company. I'd like to wish you a really good rest of the day and every continued success with the fantastic Brockwell Booters project. Chris, thank you once again.
Cheers, Tony. See you later.